man.
I love you. Cool, got some music. That wasn't even planned. Wow. I don't know, man. It must be from above. Can everybody hear me okay? All right. God bless you guys. I always get nervous up here, man. I just got to shake it out a little bit, but manifestations were awesome. Power of God. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs 14. It's where we're going to start. I'm truly blessed to be here, and thankful for the opportunity to give you guys a little bit of a preview to what I guess I'm going to title A Day in the Word. About 6 months ago, I started working the Word on this subject called prudence, and it just kind of evolved. Like any of you that study the Word a lot, you know what I'm talking about. It just kind of grew and grew, and so I put some teachings together on it, and I taught it to my fellowship, and then Todd and Shelley and Tracy, my wife and I, we host a fellowship out in the East County, and we did a teaching on it out there, and some people had heard about it and kind of inspired me to develop it a little bit more, and so I decided I'm going to do A Day in the Word. And this is going to be a preview to this, so I hope you enjoy it. We'll probably do it in February, sometime like that. And if you're not familiar the way we do A Day in the Word, it's really great. I got involved in this ministry when I was probably 21 or 22 years old. And one of the things I really loved was these days in the Word, because they were just one day where you just kind of get together with the whole family of God and you study the Bible. And you eat, which I love to do, and you hang out and you fellowship. And you just, you know, you pick a topic, whatever it is. And, you know, we recently did one at the Smith's house on your authority. And it was just a great time. It's a great time to grow. It's a great time to fellowship. It's a great time to learn. And these are really open formats where you can ask questions. You can raise your hand and say, you know, can you help me with, I don't understand this, or maybe you have something that you can expound upon the scriptures and really help bring light to the topic. And it really enables God's people to grow, you know. We spend lots of days doing lots of things in this busy life, you know. But these days in the Word, I think, are really fun. And so that's kind of the heart on it, you know. I've selected, you know, some local teachers, some people that I work the Word with a lot and fellowship with a lot, and I've asked a few of them to help me with this day. And so this is a little preview to that. But so the topic or the name of this day is going to be called Prudence, Patience, and Prosperity. Okay? And we're going to have a lot of fun working these topics. And they're exciting. And they're explosive because they're God's Word. And I've been really, the more I study it, the more I see. And I get all fired up. You guys know how I am. And so I'm here to share that with you today. Okay? So let's look at prudence first. Because that's kind of where this whole thing started. I just started looking at people, especially people in the Word that achieved great things, you know. And I looked at their character. I looked at kind of what made them the way that they were, you know. Because we all have the same 24 hours in a day, right? We all have the same Spirit of God within us, okay? And we're all different, thank God. But we all have the ability to rise up to the greatness of this, the Word. And some people do and some people don't, you know. And I wanted to just look at some of the characteristics of, you know, why did this guy pull off what he did? I mean, how did he do it? What made him achieve these great things for God? You know, and I look at people like that in the secular world. Is that how you say that? As the car alarm goes off. Because I'm in business, you know, I'm a businessman. And I'm in a very competitive business. The construction industry is vicious. And some of you that are in it are shaking their heads. They're going, yeah. And it's highly competitive. Well, you know, the spiritual realm that we live in is competitive too. We're in a spiritual competition. And as great as God made us, we still have something out there, the adversary, who does not want us to succeed. Who wants us to do, he wants to do everything that he can to sway us not to do or make biblical decisions. Okay? Sorry about that. So this word prudence means a person, male or female, who is capable of exercising sound judgment concerning spiritual or practical matters. Okay? I know that's a mouthful. But what it basically boils down to is developing yourself so that when you're faced with a decision, your decision is biblical. Your decision is sound. Your decision is what God wants you to make, you know? You want to make a godly decision. And when you make godly decisions in your life, you get godly results. And that's our heart in doing this day in the Word, is we want to help people achieve godly results in their life. You know, if it's in your marriage, if it's in your work, if it's in your relationship with God, whatever it is. See? And, you know, you can't make a lifetime of wrong decisions and expect godly results. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, you can't practice error and then turn around and look at your work, which is your life or whatever, and expect to see this masterpiece. Okay? But on the flip side of that, you know, you make a lifetime of godly choices, and man, there is fruit to behold. You know, and that's what we're going to get into. Is that good? All right. Cool. So, let's go. Let me catch up to you since I'm behind. In Proverbs 14, in verse 8, it says, "The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit." The key that I want to look at here is understanding his way, okay? A prudent man understands his walk. His walk. You cannot dictate other people's walks. You can pray for other people's walks. You can help people with their walk. But ultimately, the only person that you can really dictate what happens is your walk with God. Okay? And that's what the prudent man does. He's careful in watching the way his walk is with God. You know, he cherishes that time with God. He wants to make every step, okay, a step that is blessed by God. Look at verse 15. "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his own going." He concentrates on it, you know. He just doesn't live haphazardly. You know, well, I just take it as it comes, you know. That's just the cards they dealt me, you know. I mean, you hear all the sayings, okay. No, man. I mean, we have the ability to pray. Like we did today. We have the ability to speak in tongues and talk to God. We have the ability to ask God to direct our path And he has to direct our path because he promises that in the Word. He promises that, that he will do that. And we can rest in that, man. We can have peace in our lives knowing that our Heavenly Father, if we do things his way, his blueprint, we're going to see some great fruit. And we're going to see a great result. And I'm kind of a result-oriented guy. I don't know if any of you are that way, but I like good results. I don't like bad results. I don't like them in my life. I don't like them in my brothers and sisters' lives, you know? And, you know, I've been blessed. I've had a lot of great people teach me the Word for years and years and years. I've been doing this a little while. And you know, I think back upon days upon days upon days upon years that have gone on in my life, and I go, God, man, I've had so many people that have cared about me, who've taken the time to put teachings together, to work the Word, to study, to open up their house every single week. Come on in, Will. Sit down. Boom. And teach me the Bible. And, you know, that's what we're going to do in this day in the Word. You know, we're going to give back a little bit here. We're going to have a lot of fun. Okay? Verse 18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. See, that's the believers. That's God's people. Simple just means, you know, uninformed, uneducated. It doesn't mean that you're a simple person and as far as simplicity goes. It means that you just don't have an education. You don't understand the Word. So, you know, you inherit things that sometimes you don't want in your life. And we're going to look at that here in a little bit. Let's go ahead and flip over to Psalms 37. You know, we've had great moral decline in our world, especially in America. You know, you look at the history of America and how amazing this country is, 230, 40 years old. And it bothers me to see where we have gone. If you just look at the past 20 years of our history. You know, you look at our families and you see where they're at and what they're going through, and our children and where they're at. And I got news for you guys. I mean, if this thing's going to turn around, it's going to turn around with us. Okay? We need to set the standard. We need to set the standard, and this is the standard right here. Okay? This is the highest calling. This is the best you guys can do, okay? There's no seminar, there's no club, there's no group that you'll ever be involved in that's greater than the family of God. That's it. So you know what? You hit a home run. You did. You did. God called you, you listened. Isn't that great? I think it's great. I wasn't a real good ball player. I struck out a lot, man. I didn't strike out here, you know? Psalms 37. This is one of the things we're going to take a look at. It says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Okay? Well, whose standard of good are we going to do? God's standard. Are we going to do the standard? You know, I was thinking about it. What's the standard? Are you guys too hot? I mean, do we need to get some air going in here? Everybody okay? I mean, everybody's got an idea to what they think good is, you know. I mean, people in my neighborhood sure think they know what's good. And if you don't take care of your yard the way some people think, then they think you're not good. You know, the people at the PTA, they have an opinion of good, you know. Well, that family helps, and that family never helps, you know. I mean, they have a standard, okay? Well, so does God, see? It says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. Man, oh man. I like this, the first part of this. Delight thyself also in the Lord. How do you do that? How do you delight yourself in the Lord? Just ask yourself, you know. I mean, we had dinner with the Barnhart's last night to celebrate Barney's birthday. We had a nice meal, and after we were done, we went out for a little treat. And we delighted ourselves in some frozen yogurt, you know? We delighted ourselves in that. And we were all really good. We all, believe this or not, this is true, we had the baby portion. We were pretty good last night. We had a big meal, though. We delighted ourselves in that, you know? We just blessed ourselves. Well, how do we delight ourselves in the Lord? You know, what do? It's all an individual thing, you know. Some people take walks and they speak in tongues. Other people, you know, lock themselves in their office and read the word. Other people go speak in tongues and go for a drive. I don't know what you do to delight yourself in the word, but I know that God wants you to, okay? He wants you to love him, embrace him, and have all the richness that he has to give manifested in your life. See? He has nothing good to hold back from you. He wants you to have it all. I want you to have it all. I want you all blessed. I want your needs met. The desires of thine heart. I mean, isn't that what you want from me? Absolutely. Okay? Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. We're not going to dig really deep into commitment. But I'm going to talk just a little bit about it, you know. See, a lot of people want to make excuses and blame people because of the situation that they're in, you know. I hear it all the time, you know. People come over and they hang out and it's like, you know, they're in a situation that's not the best. And we've all been there. You know, but, you know, one of the things that I've really learned, not only as a, you know, as a believer, but especially when it comes to helping people, it's that, you know, I got to get people back to here. You know, somehow, some way, I got to get them back here. You know, if they need to come and spill their guts, that's cool. You know, I'm a good guy to do that. I got big shoulders. Cry away. But you know what? I got to get you back here if I'm really going to help you. If I'm really going to help you overcome your situation, I got to get you back to God. Because you and God are going to make a majority and you can get through that situation. Okay? And this little word, commit thy way unto the Lord, is key. See? And God doesn't want half of your commitment. He doesn't want half of your heart. He doesn't want 75% of your heart. He wants all of your heart. You know? I mean, he wants you to trust in him with everything you've got. You know? Well, I'm going to give God 50%, but I'm holding 50%, you know, because you never know. He might not come through. No, man. That's called unbelief. And that's not the situation you want to be in. Okay? When you commit your way into the Lord, man, it's like you throw it up to God and you walk away. and you let him have it. Because let me tell you something. He can do stuff that you can't even think of. And he wants to bless you. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. That's what it says right there, right? Well, that's what it means. Okay? So, let's keep moving. Family values. We're going to talk about family values in our day in the Word because I think it's really important. You know, we're not going to like make a big deal out of it, but I want to talk about that. We need to set the standard when it comes to our family. You know, when I got in the Word, I never wanted to get married because I was miserable when it came to girls. I just had bad experiences after bad experiences after bad experiences. Vicky's laughing. It wasn't until I got in the Word and I saw a real godly marriage. You know, and my parents' marriage was okay. I mean, they're still married 50 years, praise God. But I never saw a real godly setup. But once I got in the Word and I started seeing a godly marriage, then it became attractive to me. And then I wanted to get married. Okay? But then I got married, but I didn't want to have any kids because you know what kids are, man. They're a lot of work. And I was kind of a kid in my own mind myself, you know? I mean, I was not there. I wasn't. But you know what? When I got around some godly people that had godly families, it became attractive again. And I'm like, man, I want that. That's what I want. And I got that. And it's just amazing that, you know, when you really try, when you really, really try and put on this Word of God, miraculous things happen. I mean, amazing things happen. You know? So family values, that'll be something that we'll talk about. Don't compromise. Don't give in. You know, a lot of times we're challenged, man. I've been there. I know you guys have been there sometimes. But sometimes you just want to give up. Sometimes you just want to say, Wilbur, I've had it, man. I can't go another step. You know, hang in. Suck it up. Don't give in. Don't crater into the adversary, because that's what he wants. See? He goes, go ahead. You know, you don't need to make a godly decision on this. You can just do what you want. That's the way he is. He's sneaky. Don't compromise. Don't compromise on that stuff. Okay? Proverbs. Back to Proverbs. You having fun? All right. I'm doing my best. Okay, Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple, Proverbs 22:3, sorry, but the simple pass on and are punished. Okay? And this word punish is not like we think the word punish is. This word punish is the word suffer. Okay? Now look at this. This is really interesting. The prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself from him. He avoids evil. Okay? We're faced with a lot of evil stuff in this world, guys. And you don't need a preacher to tell you that. You don't. It's there, living color, everywhere. Just walk out those doors. And you don't need to battle with it all the time, you know. I know there's some pretty tough guys in this room, and there's some pretty tough gals, too. But a lot of times, you know, you don't want to go, you know, knuckling it up with evil. A lot of times, you know what you need to do is you just need to walk away. See? But the simple, where's that verse? The simple pass on and are punished. They don't recognize it, and they go right into a trap that the devil sets up for them, and they suffer for it. They suffer for it. You know? We've got to be spiritually minded. We cannot be any other way as people. You know? We need to make biblical decisions in our lives so that we can see the fruit of God manifested in all areas of our life, you know? And some areas we're stronger than others. Some areas we do real good, you know? Other areas we're middle of the road. Other areas we're weak and growing and building. And we need help in those areas, okay? That's just life, okay? That's just life. Turn to Proverbs 15. A soft answer turneth away wrath, verse 1, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out what? Foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is what? We're going to talk about reproof in the day and the word. Because reproof is very important. And it's very misunderstood, okay? And I think one of the reasons why reproof is misunderstood is because a lot of times the people that are doing the reproving are not doing it according to the word. See? I mean, think of all the great, great sections of the Bible where there was reproof. You know, I think of the woman caught in the adulterous act. First thing comes to my mind. I mean, did Jesus Christ handle that well? He was a star. You know? I mean, think about the woman on one hand. Think about the accusers on the other. I mean, the accusers, man, I mean, they just got it handed to them, you know? And they needed it. Because they weren't walking with love, man, when it came to that lady. Was the lady making a mistake? Yeah, she blew it too. But you know what? Look at how he handled that. We want to handle reproof in a godly way. We want to be prudent when it comes to that. We want to, you know, like my mom always said, man, treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, I've had my head beaten in, and I don't like that. You know, I've been kicked, and I've been, no, man, I don't like, it doesn't feel good, you know. We got a little bit of time. I'm going to give you a little story about reproof, okay? And it's not a fishing story. That's later on. Last year I bought a new truck. And I really love it. I've been wanting this truck for 20 years, you know. And I just didn't buy any truck. I bought the biggest, baddest truck made. Four doors. Diesel engine, long bed, four-wheel drive, air conditioning, moon roof. I love my truck. I'm a guy. I love my truck. So I got my son with me. We're going somewhere. It was really early in the morning. And we're just cruising. You know, we're going slow, me and Lukey. And Luke's riding in Mom's seat because Mom rides next to me, of course, and he's usually in the back seat with his brother. So anyway, we're cruising down the road. And There's this off-ramp to our right, and we're, like, in the middle lane. And there's traffic, and all of a sudden, I see this car on my left-hand side, and he's trying to get to this off-ramp. And there is no way he can make it unless he tears the front of my truck off to get there. So anyway, I mean, and I don't know if he didn't see me. I don't know. Okay, because I didn't get a chance to visit with him. I wanted to, but I didn't get that opportunity. So anyway, I'm just locking up the brakes. I'm looking right and going to steer right because this guy's just coming down on top of me. You know, he thought he was like Dale Earnhardt or something, you know. And I look over and there's a car right there. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to tear the right side of my new truck up or I'm going to tear the front end of my truck off. Well, thank God this guy he must have saw or something happened where he knew what was going on and he just went right over to the edge. And I dove in next to him and this car just zoom, zips down and gets on the on-ramp. And I had a few things to say. You know, and I work in construction, so I know how to like yell really loud, like when tractors are running and people are digging with backhoes. I can be heard because they're my jobs and I got to run them. And if someone's going to hit a gas line, I want them to not hit it. So I was screaming at this person, you know, hoping that they would hear me. And I had a few choice words for this driver. And so anyway, I kind of gather myself and, you know, straighten my truck back up and head down the freeway. And my son Luke's sitting over there, and he looks up at me and he says, "Papa, can I ask you a question?" And those of you that know my son, he's got a little bit of prudency in him. And I'm like, "What is it, Luke?" He goes, "Papa, I got a question." He goes, "Are you building people up or are you tearing them down?" That's reproof, my friends. That's reproof in its purest form. You know? "Papa, what are you doing?" You know? It's great. It's really, really great. Okay, so that's some of the stuff on prudence we're going to look at, and more. It's going to be a lot more than that because I just got a little bit of time. Patience. We're going to look at patience. Let's go to Galatians. Okay. Galatians. Ephesians. See, I always thought patience was a fruit of the Spirit, you know, because it just kind of made sense that it was. And then it's really not worded that way in the Word. But I want to go ahead and read this anyway, because I don't have a bunch more time. But I think you guys will get the gist of where I'm going. Verse 22, Galatians 5, says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Okay? The best biblical definition that I could find for patience, and I've been looking, is the will or the ability to wait or endure without complaint. Why did it have to have those last two words in there, you know? I'm like, I had this, you know, I mean, I'm a fisherman. You knew the fishing story was coming. I'm a fisherman. I have no problem waiting. I have endured bad weather, storms to catch a fish. But without complaint, man, that's the tough part, okay? It implies the bearing or the suffering with calmness and self-control, okay? So there's some renewed mind we're going to talk about in the Day of the Word. It's going to be wonderful, and we're going to handle a lot of that. And just so you guys know, long-suffering, the best definition I could find for that is bearing injuries, bearing insults, bearing trouble, patiently for a long time. You know, that's long-suffering. That's what we're supposed to be, you know. I wanted to kill that guy, you know? You needed to be a little more patient. Okay, back to Psalms 37. I'll wrap this up. You guys are sure wonderful. Thankful for this opportunity to be with you. Psalms 37, verse 7. says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him without complaint. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. See, man, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to come and play in his court. He wants you to play in his game. He's only evil. That's all he is. He's got it masked like a lot of different things. But you know what? It ain't. It is not what it is perceived to be. Evil is evil. Good is good. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. When you do things God's way, there's always a blessing. Period. And it might not seem that way sometimes, guys. I mean, sometimes you're just going, man, I don't see the blessings in this, and I prayed, and brr. Yeah, we've all been there, huh? But let me tell you what, they come, and they may be in this life, and they may not be in this life, okay? Because this world's not our home. Remember, we sang that this morning, or talked about it anyway, prayed about it, okay? When you do things God's ways, there's always blessings. And you know what? We need to get to the point in our lives to where we expect them. We expect to receive the goodness of God. We expect. It's just like we don't pray and then expect ungodly results. That's ridiculous. That's the ploy of the devil, you know? No, when we pray to God, man, we expect godly results. Ephesians 3:20. Above and beyond. Okay. Let's go to Romans. I got to go to Romans. We've been studying Romans for weeks in our fellowship. It's been great. Patience. Verse 5. Now the God of patience. Oh, 15, excuse me. I'm getting ahead of myself. I beat you guys for once. 15:5, sorry. Everybody there? Now, the God of patience. Well, let's just read from verse 1. It's better. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Okay? We that are strong ought to do that. If you're strong, that's what you should do. Simple. Really, really simple. You know, help your brother out. Help him out. If he's down, help him out. You know? Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Is that the Old Testament there? Yeah, that's before the day of Pentecost. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. See? We're to be like-minded. Man, that takes a little work, huh? It's easy when we do it this way, though. It's not Deanne trying to sway me to believe her beliefs. It's not me tugging on her to believe my way. No, it's both of us coming together and say, look, we're going to get together on this. We're going to be like-minded right here. Well, that takes all the pressure off of her. It takes all the pressure off of me. Okay? Because God's right. He's right. This book has stood the test of time. And it will continue to stand if the Lord should tarry after we're gone. Okay? For our kids and our kids' kids and on and on and on. See? So that people can live and serve and bless God. Okay? So, God looks on the heart. Don't be afraid to lay your heart on the line when it comes to God, man. Don't be afraid. A lot of times, you know, you don't want to give your all. You just want to give a little bit. Don't be selfish with the heart. Don't be selfish with the love. Give what you have. And you have the love of God because you have the Spirit of God which dwells within you. Okay? Prosperity. We're not going to spend a lot of time here. You're just going to have to come to the day in the Word if you want to learn about prosperity. Because I'm running out of time. But let's go to 1 Timothy and look at one thing. You know, the will of God, God says that His will is that we prosper and what? Okay, that's what He wants. So we don't have a problem with that, right? Does everybody here want to prosper? Does everybody want to be in health? Good, then we're on the same page. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." Okay, is everybody there? 6:10, 1 Timothy. Okay, so we know that the love of money cannot be prosperity. It's not. Okay? "Which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." You know? Serving the money God is a very, very, very hard God to serve. Very hard. You know? I mean, I work in an industry where there is multi-millionaires running around. And you wouldn't know it. But, you know, builders build the world. I mean, they're wealthy guys, you know, guys that build streets and roads and bridges and skyscrapers and stuff like that. I mean, very, very, very successful men. And you won't believe how many of them I have met that have been so wealthy and now are so poor. You know, riches come and go. They really do. I'm serious, man. I know some guys that I just like, how could you lose that much money? I mean, it's beyond my comprehension. I don't even know what that much money looks like, what some of these guys talk about. It's like beyond, I wouldn't know. I mean, so, you know, when we study prosperity, we're going to really have a biblical perspective of it. We're going to take a real biblical look, see, at what God wants for you when it comes to your prosperity and your health. Okay? All right. I'd like you all to stand, please. Why don't you hold your neighbor's hand or hug them or whatever you want to do. Kiss them. I don't care. All right. And I'm going to have Donnie Smith close our fellowship with a word of prayer. Amen. Thank you. Love you.